Good afternoon, everyone. On Scenic Roots, this is Live in the Library. We are back with the first session recorded in the Chattanooga Downtown Library in so long. This afternoon, a session featuring the redoubtable guitarist Jimmy Dormeyer, with Gary Hicks playing bass, and drummer Ward Wilson. From the studio in the Downtown Public Library, this is the Peace Merchants.
Hey, everybody. We are the Peace Merchants, and we are musicians that are all about the spirit of peace, love, and joy, and a healing force runs through our music.
We'll be right back.
Here's a song about amber waves. Do you remember those amber waves?
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that, Jim.
Oh, our pleasure.
It's a nice session.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to it.
So tell me about the two guys you were playing with. Do you play with them regularly?
Quite often, though. They were the original two guys of the band Peace Merchants I put together here. I think it's going on about 3 years now, maybe four. Probably 4 years.
So how does that work? You're based in Nashville, and then you keep a connection with these guys, so when you come down here, you play with them down here? Is that
how
it works?
To tell you the truth, I'm more, since I live up on the mountain now near Mount Eagle area.
I didn't realize
I'm much
that.
More, I'm down here a lot more than I'm in Nashville anymore, because Nashville's changed so much these days that I only go there for real special situations. And these guys they've been in my corner for a while, so. And they're real solid groove oriented players.
He's something.
Yeah.
Yeah. They both are.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. You know, they can pretty much go where anywhere I want them to go. So it's and good personalities too. So that makes a big difference.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's something that I don't think that people who don't make music even think about. That it's not. I think, you know, even though it may seem something of a cliche, it's not really that much different than having a conversation with somebody, is it?
Not really.
Some people, the conversation flows easily and you don't really think about it. It just kind of...
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And it's the same when you play music with somebody. Is it really that...
Yeah, having a rapport...
Is that much of a correlation?
Yeah, having a rapport and... yeah, there really is. 'Cause music is... Especially at the creative end of it, it's really having a conversation. It really is.
I was looking at the notes that you wrote for the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, because I know you enough to know that there's a philosophical foundation to what you do.
Somewhat, yeah.
But you're also a really good guitar player. And I'm wondering which comes first. Do the tunes come and then you... write for them, or
well, lyrically, the ones that have lyrics, the lyrics usually come first, and then I'll write a motif around that, and build on that. Usually that's the situation. We're about half instrumental, half vocal, and we just do. Of course, guitar is my main deal, but I find myself singing songs that are more message-based to try to just be a good inspiration to, you know, whoever will pick up on it, you know?
It seems to me that you can say everything you want to say with your guitar. The lyrics are a way for you to express a specific idea.
Right, exactly.
But the thrust behind those lyrics is there in all the tunes that you play.
Yeah.
There's a quietude about your playing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a... I mean, you know, it's my DNA. The guitar has been in my DNA for... since I was a little child. But I mean, you know, within the last... I want to say the last 10 years, I've really come into doing my own thing, to where I, of course, you hear the influences there, which I try not to quote too often. You know, you hear the Allman Brothers, the Duane Allman. You hear the Jeff Beck, and on the guitar side of things, you hear on the more explorative things, you hear more the John Coltrane and some jazz embellishments there. But I don't ever claim to be a jazz player, but I do have the embellishments of kind of like a Robin Ford takes that into his style as well, that kind of a thing.
It's interesting you bring up Coltrane because I think you have a lot in common with him. There's this sense sometimes listening to him play that he's trying to reach something that's just right beyond where he can get to.
Yeah.
You know, there's a kind of keening sound to his playing.
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, when I need to be grounded, because, you know, I listen to so many things and try to find new inspiration all the time. But I always find myself when I need to get myself grounded, you know, I'll go back and I'll listen to Love Supreme or even some Miles Davis when he was with Miles Davis. He brings, even though I'm not that intricate of a player, technically, I can grasp the spirit of what he's trying to say. The same goes with John McLaughlin. John McLaughlin has the same effect on me, especially when he's playing with the Indian musicians and that kind of a
Shakti
thing. Yeah, exactly.
And Duane Allman too, I think.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Duane and Dickie both were just a huge influence on me. And I came that close to being there, but Warren Haynes beat me to the spot. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, that's it's one of the cool things about Duane's playing. There are no cliches in his playing.
No.
He is transcendent.
Exactly.
Just like Coltrane, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
If he had lived, no telling where he might have taken that music.
Yeah, those are the players I've always veered towards, the non-cliché, the guys that were all their, just like Jeff Beck. I mean, there's barely a cliché there. Even McLaughlin, there's barely a cliché there, unless it's maybe a Coltrane phrase or something like that, maybe. But nobody was taking that and putting it on guitar at the time, and nobody really has since as much as he has taken that. He grasps more of the philosophical, the spirit. That's why that playing, that Coltrane vibe is really enhanced in his music. And he grabs he really grabs the spirit. He knows what it's all about. A lot of guys, you know, there's a lot of great young technical players that can whip through that stuff now, but it's mainly more mechanical. I find it more mechanical than grasping the true spirit of what's really behind that music. And plus the times too. We're talking about the 50s and 60s and 70s. You know, those times gave our heart a different, if we're playing from that space, it gave us all a different perspective of emotion, you know.
And I think they say that everything skips a generation, you know, and they are now our grandchildren, the ones who are making music now.
Yeah.
And they seem to get it again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that sound that we're talking about, which is, it's really extra musical. It's a philosophical position that is expressed through the music.
Right. Yeah.
And that's reflected in your personal life too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So as you moved more towards Eastern philosophy in your personal life, I guess you wanted to express that in your music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes through. I mean,
it definitely comes through.
You know, it's almost, music to me is just, I really found that, especially over this past year that we've all gone through, and just walking out, playing on my porch every morning or evening has been such a meditational. And that's what I tell people now. I tell even if I take on a couple students, I tell them, man, music's really about, you make a meditation out of it. Let it soothe your heart and be your stress relief. And that way you'll have it your whole life. No matter what level you're at. If you're just strumming chords or learn a few riffs here and there. It really has a soothing effect on the heart and the spirit, and you know, really, that's what music's all about. Really, it really is. I think for me it's always been, you know, a meditation, a stress relief. It's just takes you to another world. It really does.
This is Scenic Roots live in the Chattanooga Downtown Library. This is the Peace Merchants.
Here's a piece entitled Resonance.
Your mercy, rescue me. High on a mountaintop, deep in a valley low, your ascending love, like a river flows, like a river flows. Your mercy, rescue me. Your mercy, rescue me.
Thank you.
here's a blues shuffle for you, entitled Karma Sutra. Our anthem.
Gotta love one another.
Sure, you've been asked before, but I'm just wondering, how long were you playing before you felt that you could use the instrument to express what you were feeling?
Well, I've had, I was really at a young age influenced. You know, played a lot of blues coming up, and appreciated that style, but really took it on. I would say 20 years ago, 10 years ago, it really felt like effortless. It's become to feel like an effortless thing, and just letting it happen in the moment. And then, of course, you know, you meet a guy like Colonel Bruce Hampton, and it turns your whole world upside down. You know, even though I was only around him for, say, a couple years. But I mean, you know, everybody, he's changed everybody that he's been in contact with, and it just makes you a different musician, a different person. I mean, and you look at things and you hear things different. That's what it is, I guess. I don't know. You hear things different, you know.
Well, he wanted you to be very much in the moment, right?
Very much in the moment. Yeah.
And that's a kind of Zen thing.
Yeah. He didn't want to hear cliche. You know, he didn't want to hear the cliche thing. He really wanted you to, but he wants you to be yourself, but not try to play like anybody else or feel the shoes of anybody else. You know, it's just like 10 years in college in one tour of a year, just all in one. You know, Colonel Bruce Academy.
Well, you know, it strikes me that it's such an irony that there are so many blues cliches, and yet the blues is so much a music that if you're not right in the moment, you're not playing it, are you?
No.
You know, those guys that originated those styles, if you listen to them, Elmore James or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Slim Harpo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Buddy Guy. They're lost in that sound.
They're lost in that sound.
They're not playing it. They're playing themselves.
Totally immersed in it. Yeah, totally.
They're not playing music. They're playing who they are, which I think is why it's so difficult. So, same thing with reggae. I think that's why Western musicians have so much trouble with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, white musicians.
You know? Yeah. You know, I find even the Delta blues were the guys that would just chunk on one note and sing a very deep message, very soulful, but just kind of that droning, like that John Lee Hooker, you know, that Son House droning on an open tuning. And, you know, it's very similar to the, you know, the Indian music forms, even though they're much more complicated rhythmically. But most of the Indian music is based on a raga, like one scale, which is really not too complicated. But where their Indian music gets complicated is the rhythmic cycles that they play with the tabla, and them kids learn how to count that stuff when they're, you know, 3 years old. That's why they're so advanced at it. But it's a meditative form of music. Mm. You know, and the Delta blues is the same. It's the same type of spiritual vibe to me. It's the people that created that music were coming from a very, very deep place.
I think so. We were in South Carolina, and this young woman took us on a tour of what used to be plantations. And at one point, she stopped and she said, and I forget what she called it, but it was like a little one-room country church with wooden floors and basically a shack. And she said, this is what a meeting sounded like. And she started clapping and stamping her feet and singing. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Sun House. It sounds just like Sun House.
Yeah.
Death Letter, you know, it's the same thing.
Exactly. It gives me chills thinking about it, yeah.
Charlie Patton, you know, raising hell on Saturday night and then playing for the church people on Sunday.
Right on.
It was all for peace, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Right on. And there are some, like you say, there are some new, I call them kids, but in their 20s or 30s that are grasping that now. And, you know, well, of course, we had Derek Trucks was one of the first that really blew everybody's minds. And you know, we have Marcus King. He's just an incredible, soulful young talent. Billy Strings. What a great, I mean, just phenomenal. Inspires me to get up in the morning, drink my coffee, and watch Billy Strings, you know, try to jam along with him a little bit on acoustic guitar. You know, it's just very inspiring. I mean, there's a lot of great things going on in music right now. We don't, you know, the only place we hear it is with like guys like you, Richard. So,
well, you know, the thing with Billy Strings, which I think is so cool, and you know, as far as that goes, I guess he's typical of his generation. They're not genre fixed.
No, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
yeah,
because they're just feeling it.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling it, you're not thinking in terms of genre anymore.
No.
And I think that's maybe where we got hung up in our generation.
Yeah.
Hung up too much on trying to be something we're not.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just feel it, as you say, it comes from the heart, and then it's genuine.
You think music may be coming more genreless in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Radio did itself a great disservice by, you know, locking onto styles of music, and the way that they hear music now, YouTube and Spotify and all the rest of them, there are no distinctions made, you know, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know, and listen to what you want, you know, it's like going to a mortgage board, you know.
But, you know, back in the day too, you know, being around Nashville so much and the business end of it, and watching artists try to sign deals, and if you don't have a genre, like if you're a little wishy-washy about maybe you cross over a little too much, you don't get signed. So, I mean, it really turned into your bread and butter and making a living to have a specific, because it seemed like radio or whoever created so, then, but then they started splitting up the genres and dividing into so many different things.
Yeah. No, it becomes so subdivided. Yeah. Like, really? And then, you know, there are people like Brandy Clark and Casey Musgraves and Eric Church who seem to be blurring genres, and they're successful.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, Willie and Waylon and the rest of them, they tried to change it and they couldn't, could they? They
didn't
leave.
Right.
But their grandchildren, I think, maybe will do what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think
to take it back to what it was before they try to make it into a business.
Yeah, and I think the politics of it all.
Yeah.
I think it's politically, we're going to see that genreless. And like it's like when you think of Americana, that involves everything. Everything that was created in America really fits under that Americana umbrella, really. Roots, blues, jazz, rock, rockabilly, it all fits under bluegrass it off, it's under Americana. That umbrella.
That's pretty slick, right? Yeah. you've got a label, but a label doesn't mean anything.
Right, right.
Because it's such a huge umbrella.
Yeah.
And so we've come full circle.
Yeah.
Where Louis Armstrong's playing with Jimmy Rogers, you know?
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you're about. And maybe do you have to do what you did too, which is, you know, to spend your life immersed in the music to reach that point where you can feel liberated from
right.
all of those concerns.
Yeah, exactly. The heart and soul of me is playing my guitar and playing an electric guitar and getting out there and just trying to hit that heart zone out there in the audience, hit their heart zone. That's really what I'm all about.
Jimmy Dormeyer with his band The Peace Merchants, Gary Hicks playing bass and Ward Wilson playing drums, live in the library, recorded in the state-of-the-art recording studio on the second floor of the Chattanooga Public Library in downtown Chattanooga. We record these sessions on Wednesday afternoons. The library isn't open yet. They plan to open the library to everyone next month. But in the meantime, we have access to the studio to make these recordings of primarily, but certainly not exclusively, Chattanooga-based musicians and bands, all of which are engineered and mixed by Sam Mensah. The executive producers for Live in the Library are me, Richard Winham, for WUTC, Sam for the library. We'll have another session recorded live in the library on Scenic Roots next Friday afternoon at 3. To close this session, the man with whom Jimmy played and learned so much, this is Colonel Bruce Hampton on listener-supported public radio. This is Scenic Roots, live in the library.
Some food, I'd better not be late, 'cause all the food